going on in this world today? Where do we fit? What can we do to make a difference? What can we say? Where do we go?
Cat Williams and this Unity Band to Dave, Richard, Joel, and Pete. We are so, so blessed. We are so blessed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And to you, would you take this opportunity to stand up and then to just look around and to give your blessing, your presence, your namaste to those that are here, to connect, to greet without touching unless you truly have the other person's permission, but just to namaste. And then to take a look at our live stream audience and to welcome them as well, because we're touching spirits wherever we are. Thank you. You may be seated. So the question is, what impacts, what alters, and what is always most relevant? What impacts, what alters, and what is always most relevant? Just hold that thought. We're going to come back to that. A number of years ago, many moons ago, I should say, does anybody else feel like you've had a lot of lifetimes in this one lifetime? Yeah. Yeah. I can tell by the quality of your, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Many moons ago, I was an educational consultant back for Apple Computer and IBM. This was way back when the personal computer was just making it out. And what I did, I represented both of those companies in school systems, the public school system. Because at that time, the public schools, were trying to learn how to incorporate computer technology, whole new ways of doing things, how to automate the whole bus system, how to automate student records in the front office, how to standardize and automate certain things in the classroom. And so it was a big part of what I did in that particular time. I was covering a number of counties in North Carolina because there's a lot of schools spread out across the state. What I did, I would go out and meet with teachers and with principals and talk to them about, you know, what they were currently doing and were they ready and which solution would work best for them. And there were always a lot of questions, and I was trained on what we called the features and the benefits of knowing, you know, what were the features of this and what were the benefits. And as a part of my training, I'll never forget something that happened. Both IBM and Apple Computer did this when they trained us. Somebody sat in the back of the room when we were having to learn how to present this stuff, and they held up a big sign, And that big sign, as you were doing your spiel and trying to explain how having a computer in the classroom would help or how automating the bus schedules could help, they would hold up a big sign that said, "So what?" So what? Because you could get so caught up in what you thought you already knew and what you thought they wanted to know that you were talking about the numbers of pixels in the monitors and all of this stuff, and the poor classroom teacher would just be saying, "So what? So what?" And I've never, ever forgotten that, "So what?" Because ultimately, the person was saying, "How does this relate to me and my job? How does this apply to what I'm doing? How is it relevant? Not in your theory, but in my practice, how is that relevant? So what?" Well, now let's take that concept to God. God is love. So what? How does that relate to me, to my job? How does it relate? How does it apply? How is it applicable in my life? So what? I hear the theory, but so what? I think perhaps the writer of what we have recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 may have been going around with that same "so what." When they said, "So what? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. So what? If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all knowledge, and I have faith that can move mountains, but not love, I am nothing. So what if I can give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love? I've gained nothing. So what? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of right or wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but love rejoices. So what? Love rejoices with truth. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes, and love always perseveres. Love never fails. What imparts, or what impacts, what alters, and what is always most relevant? It is love, and love never fails. Now, you may prefer it to hear this way: God impacts, God alters, and God is always most relevant. Some may like the song, "God is the answer." Others may prefer to say it, "Love is the answer." I'm very thankful the scripture said that God is love. It's one and the same. We're saying the same thing. So today I want to talk a little bit about this level of "so what." You know, we talk about love, we talk about love, God, but how has love impacted you? Just think about through your life, how love, anybody ever had your world rocked by love and then torn apart? How has love impacted you recently? How is love both impacting you and allowing your presence to be impactful? How has love altered you? I mean, literally changed who you are. And how has love altered you recently? Because I don't believe it's supposed to stop. How is love activating you to alter your environment? And can you see that love is always most relevant? Can you see that we're here to touch and bring forth God, love, and that's almost always most relevant? And so whatever is up for you, can you commit to the "so what"? So what does this mean in my life in regards to love? I'm going to take a brief pause and a brief poll. How many of you are cold? Okay. Would someone find Reverend Christie and ask her to heal that? although it's my strategy for keeping you awake. It's like the grocery store. You're so cold, you just grab stuff and you get out of there. Love. Love impacts. Love alters. Love is always most relevant. God impacts. God alters. God is always most relevant. So what? So love impacts. When I was in seminary, they said that the real job of ministry is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Because they said that that's the job of spirit. That spirit comforts what is hurting. Spirit comforts where we're broken. And spirit also likes to rock us out of our comfort zone. And I agree with that. Not because it's not nice, but because the nature of nature is to reveal its potential. And if you're revealing your potential, notice there's an active ing going on. There is an activity that as long as we're in this life, I firmly believe, as long as we have skin on, then we're in it. We're in this to continually bring forth and reveal, to discover the so what. How am I being called to be impacted by love? How am I being called to be such an embodiment and a presence of love that I literally impact my environment? There's a saying that says, love can make a grown man cry. Love can bring us to our knees. Love can cause us to uproot our lives and cause us to say, I do. Love can cause us to move beyond. Love can cause us to say, I'm sorry, I forgive, even when you've been hurt terribly. Love also gives us the courage to say, no means no. That's love. Love softens us and breaks the shell. Cahill Gibran said it beautifully, writing, your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. That's love. Love breaks the shell and love strengthens the backbone. Love opens us to reveal what we're made of. Love moves us beyond our labels and our roles and what I would call our masks. The way that we have identified our somebody training, as Ram Dass used to say, love helps us to realize that those are important roles, those are important gifts, those are important things that you can do, but who's behind all of that? So what? What is behind all of that? This past week, we had a class with Dr. Christine Page, and one of the things she said really stuck out to me. She said she's a doctor. She's, you know, from the United Kingdom. She does a lot of different things, has done a lot of different things in her life. She's a wife. She's a breast cancer survivor. She's all of these things, and, you know, most people look at you, and they know you as some of your labels or a few of your labels, but she said one of the most powerful experiences in her life was out in the ocean. And she had the opportunity and the occasion to swim with dolphins. And she said there was this time when this dolphin came to her literally eyes to eyes. And she said that that dolphin held its gaze and looked into her eyes. And she said when that happened, everything in her melted because she thought, that dolphin doesn't know anything of my labels. That dolphin doesn't know anything of me other than that dolphin sees my soul. And that when I say love impacts, it's reaching that part of you that sees your soul. And when you're seen at that level, it really brings something forth. And it enables us to be a space, to be a presence that is positively impactful. Would you say those words with me? Positively impactful. Do you believe our world could use some positively impactful? That it causes us to be a positive source, a positive impact. Ralph Waldo Emerson spent a lot of time in nature, a lot of time in solitude. And as he observed nature and in the silence, he came to recognize himself as one with it. He came to see all of nature, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the animal kingdom, his own being, as everything had what he called an ineffable essence, a spirit, a divine spark, a hidden splendor. And Emerson believed that our job was to release the hidden splendor, what Jesus called the light or the kingdom. And our job was to constantly find a way to see it with one another, to have to see through the mask, to have to separate the t-shirt from the man, to see through those things, to see that hidden splendor. And there's a story about Emerson. He gave a lot of lectures, and when he gave lectures, he would fill a lecture hall. And the people that showed up were usually dressed. They were usually some of the more educated, a little more affluent audience. But there's a story told of a woman that showed up every night when he was in her town. Every single night she was showing up. And someone asked her, they said, "What brings you here? Now, what brings you here?" And they asked her because she was showing up in a uniform. She was working as a maid and was showing up, so she stuck out a little bit. And what she said was, she said, "I am here because it makes me feel good to watch him up there, listening to him talk and knowing that he's looking out here and seeing everybody here as good as he is. He sees the hidden splendor in everybody, and that seems right and that feels right to me." That we want to be in the presence of someone that can see the hidden splendor in us. Love truly impacts us. Love impacts. And love makes us a presence that is impactful. Love will rock your world. Amen? It really will. It'll stretch us. It'll grow us. How many women have had more than one child? How many after the first one said, "Not only no, but hell no"? Why did you do it again? Because love is bigger than any pain. Love is bigger than the messiness of the creative process. Love is bigger. Love impacts us, and love alters us. You know, I was thinking about, I love this time of year. Nature is my therapy, and we got a lot of flowers and plants and different things in our yard, and some of the flowers are starting to put off a fragrance. And I was thinking about how when I walk by a certain area, that those flowers have literally altered the space. You hear what I'm saying? By just doing what they naturally do, they literally have altered the space. That we're here to do that. We're here to alter the space. And if you want to look to the life of Jesus, I believe Jesus not only altered the space, but I'm going to go so far as to say I believe Jesus was an intentional holy disruptor. Yeah? That love, when you're at that level of so what matters, you cannot be okay with the status quo. You cannot be okay with oppression. You cannot be okay with racism. You cannot be okay with sexism. You cannot be okay with homophobia. You cannot be okay with insiders and outsiders. You cannot be okay with abusing the earth. You just cannot be okay with that. Truth? I mean, it really is just the truth. But sometimes we don't like to feel uncomfortable. I'm telling you, we're here to be holy disruptors in a very sacred, not in a mean way, not in a nasty way, but in a fragrant way, in a flowerfully fragrant way, to just linger in that sort of way. I want you to consider something that you may not have ever thought about. I want to read a passage and then break it down for you a little bit. This comes from Luke chapter 14, starting with verse 16. This is speaking of Jesus. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read." Now, this isn't very important. So we have Jesus in his hometown synagogue. We're learning here, Jesus belonged to a synagogue. News alert, Jesus was not Christian. Jesus had a home synagogue. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, as a norm, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read." Now, do you think anybody in that day and time could stand up and read? Not only no, but no. The only people that could stand up to read were what we'd call today the clergy, so to speak. "So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him." Now, typically, there would have been seven readers. It would have started with a priest, And then there would have been a Levite, and there would have been five other men of Israel, religious men. And so they rolled out this scroll, and they passed it down, and they read parts of it. So he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written in Isaiah. And he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind. He has sent me to bring liberty to those who are oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant and he sat down. And all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him because he stood to say, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." What he said was, today we are going from reading the scripture to being the scripture. Today, I'm bringing it into expression. You see, we only possess the power of an insight when we give it expression. What he was telling the people that day is, I came to bring a new expression of the law. It's not that the law of Moses wasn't helpful, but that we've outgrown that. It's time to go from reading it to being it. That's what he was telling them, that love will impact you and love is going to alter you. And that means love is going to call on you to alter your environment. That you can't, there's no such thing as pretending I don't see that. There's no such thing as believing that when I spend my dollars, I don't need to be responsible to what I'm supporting. There's no such thing as just playing ignorant anymore. Now, that's a challenging wake-up call. I'm telling you, that's not necessarily comfortable, but I believe that's the level of so what. That as we grow and when we mature spiritually, we're called to that level. We're called to be holy disruptors, but remember, like a flower, like a fragrance, and in a gentle way. But gentle is sometimes very direct. That says, no, you know what? I'm sorry, but I can't participate in that conversation. You know what? I'm sorry, I can't have this conversation about that person unless we could have them here. You know what? I hear what you're saying, but I can't get into this us versus them. I just honestly don't want to reinforce that. If everybody in this room would commit to that, just think of the ripple effect that we could create, if we would commit to do that. You may think that you don't have the capacity to alter something, but you do, and you're only called to alter, to impact what touches you, what touches your life. That's the good news. But when we do that, think about in recent years some of the things that has happened. Uber has completely altered the what industry? The taxi industry. Airbnb has completely altered the hotel industry. Google has disrupted the encyclopedia salesman. There are how many of you had encyclopedias? Let's give them some love. I bet our young people are like, what is she talking about? What is that? Google, the internet. Social media has disrupted the news industry. You see, the scriptures say that we're here to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. We're here to be holy disruptors in a way that makes an impact like the fragrance of a flower. Love impacts, love alters. This week, I always pay attention throughout the week when I'm talking, and I saw something 2 days ago that was very, very sweet. Would you show us this slide? I want to introduce you to Enrique. That's me. That's not Enrique. Are we there? There we are. Okay. Enrique is a southern rockhopper penguin. Now, Enrique is about 30 years old, and their lifespan is usually only 10 years old. This little guy has more than tripled his lifespan because he lives in the St. Louis Zoo. He's taken really well care of. But the problem was, little Enrique got some arthritis in his feet. Anybody? Feels like you're stepping on Legos when you get up sometimes. Well, he got these calluses on his feet, and he was really being slowed down with arthritis. And so they had some lotions and stuff that they were putting on his feet. But penguins love what? Water. And so they couldn't keep it on him. But a very loving zookeeper, I believe, said, you know, I want to be a holy disruptor. I want to have love that alters things. What can I do? He happened to think about the fact that he had seen cats and dogs with little shoes on, so he contacted the company Therapaw. And I don't know if you can see it. I think she's trying to zoom in on it. You can go home and Google it if not. But not only is Enrique one of the oldest living penguins, he is now the most stylish penguin. He has little strap-on shoes that are black with red grips at the bottom. See his little shoes? They put them on in the morning. They take them off before he goes to bed. And they said, Enrique has been swimming faster, climbing higher, and continuing to live a happy life in the St. Louis Zoo. Isn't that beautiful? Richard, would you give me that song? You know, whatever touches, that's what touched the zookeeper's life. What is touching your life? Where are you being called to allow yourself to be impacted by love? Where are you being called to be a more impactful presence of love? Let's go a step more boldly. Where are you being called to make some alterations, to place some things on the altar of your heart? Where are you being called to hold your feet to the fire and to allow love to even alter you? And how are you being called to be more active and conscious and awake in your capacity to alter your environment by being not a thermometer that just reads the room, but a thermostat that's going to set your space? I'm going to be love. And finally, that means that love is always most relevant. Love is always most relevant. In the Gospel of John, chapter 9, there's a little passage that says that Jesus was walking with the disciples, and they saw a man blind from birth. And they said, Rabbi, notice again, Jesus was a rabbi. Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was blind, born blind? Now, this is a profound question. They were asking, Jesus, this man was born blind, and is it his karma? Was he born blind because of his karma? Or is this some kind of reincarnation thing? Did it have to do with his parents? That's what they're asking. Why was this man born blind? And Jesus said, neither. And actually, you're asking the wrong question. The question you should be asking is, so what? So what is the activity of God seeking to display in this man's life? So what is the work of love seeking to bring forth in this man's life? So what is love seeking to bring forth in your life? Because love is the most, what? Relevant thing. So in this moment and in this place, I will remember who I am, letting go of fear and all worry. I will go and I will quiet my mind. There is only love. There is that sets us free. There is only love. I invite you to close your eyes. Love, love, love. You hear that word so often that you forget. Yes, love, love, love. You hear that word so often you forget. Let us say it again. Love, love, love. You hear it so often, you forget. Is there any word that can encompass love? Is there any word that can encompass what you call God? No, there is not. And wherever we place a limit, we have placed a limitation around love. For you see, to place a limit does not mean the same thing as placing a boundary. A boundary is an act of establishment. A limit is an act of restriction. Love, love, love. Love is always working its way into your being from the place, so what? So what does this mean to you? So what does this mean for you? So how are you being impacted? How are you being altered? How are you being called to be a greater impact, to be a greater conscious presence that is willing to alter your environment, that is willing to examine your environment and rearrange it as necessary if it would crowd out love? And do you really know that the most relevant thing is always love? Love is always most relevant. How is the activity of God seeking to be displayed in my life? How is the presence of love seeking to be made manifest in who I know myself to be? How is love seeking to be displayed in this situation? Love impacts. Love alters. And love is always relevant. So when I lose myself, and when I think I've lost my way, then I go inside and I quiet my mind. I will hear my spirit gently say, there is only love. There is only love. It is love that heals and it will set me free. There is only so when everything else is moved out of the way, all the dust settles. And when we reach that point in our life when life says, well done, travel on, sojourner, you will indeed know that it, all that mattered really was love. And that when you really dance with that kind of love, there are no more either or scenarios. There are no more sacred or unsacred. There are no more ordinary or unordinary. For it is all one big display of love, of light, or it is the quandary in the cry of darkness. Never a shame, never a blame, but simply an acknowledging and a willingness to turn on the light, to turn on the love. For there is only love. I invite you to gently to open your eyes. Just to look around at somebody and to whisper, so what? So what? So what? Well, love is always most relevant. Would you say that with me? Love is always most relevant. Amen.